Hello, my name's Kate Rolls and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust. You're taking part in Anthony Gormley's new artwork, One and Other. The date today is the 1st of August 2009, and if I can please ask you to state your full name, your date of birth and where you come from.
My name's Catherine Harrison, or Kat Harrison, as most people know me, and my date of birth is 19th of the 9th of 1986, and originally from Congleton in Cheshire, just outside of Manchester.
And how are you today?
I'm a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit scared of heights. So I'm slightly worried that I'm going to fall off, even though I know I won't really.
Okay. And if I can take you back to when you first heard about this project, mm-hmm. and ask you what it was that motivated you to apply.
Well, I work for a company called Arts Admin who work closely with Artichoke. And so I heard about it that way off one of the colleagues there, and I knew about the fourth plinth mainly from Alison Lapper's statue. Alison Lapper's statue that is it Mark Quinn did, Mark Quinn, from then. And I thought it was really interesting because the last piece of work, the hotel, got quite mixed reviews from the public, and I thought this was an interesting live art piece to put up there. So that's why, really, just to take part. And I don't feel like I'm better or worse than anyone else to take part. I really do feel like I'm just an average 22-year-old girl, so that's why I think it's like a really good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you realised that you had got a place on the plinth,
yeah.
how did you decide how to use your hour?
Well, at first I was generally very shocked, and so I just asked around to see what people thought. I set up a Facebook group called Cat One Other, which I sent to all my friends, and they all posted things, and then that got quite big, and I think there's now sort of 250-300 people that have posted their ideas. Some have involved getting drunk or getting naked, but some have been really good ideas as well. So I kind of pooled some of their ideas. But then I checked the weather report, and it's due to really rain. So that's why I thought I'd like to do something with umbrellas, partly as a way to keep dry, but mainly because I wanted to do something that was inherently British. And stereotypically, you know, British people are known for their umbrellas and the fact that it rains all the time, which is true. And it goes right back to those like Victorian pictures you see of the men with their top hats and their umbrellas. But now it's, you know, kind of thinking too much about umbrellas, really. But they're an extension of our aesthetic and our style. So you don't see businessmen, for example, in their suits with pink stripy umbrellas very often and things like that. They're kind of seen as an extension of who we are. So I've asked people to donate their umbrellas, and the different ones tell different stories to me and to them, and so that's kind of why I've chosen to do that.
Mm. And are you going to have many umbrellas? Are you going to have them all up at once? How are you going to?
Well, at the moment it's a work in progress. I've got about 13 umbrellas, maybe more if I pick some up before I go. 13 umbrellas to play with of different sizes, and I did have more, but I picked the sturdiest ones, and I've got a bit of gaffer tape, and I'm just going to see how well I can make a fort out of them, hopefully some sort of dome shape, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. And then I've been walking past the plinth, and I've seen lots of people doing paper aeroplanes, and I thought it was a really lovely idea. So I've just done sayings and things that are important to me and things that I've found in newspapers recently with like putting forward ideas, and hopefully people will maybe write back on my website, the participant website on oneanother.com, and hear what they have to say, because I think as much as it's me on the plinth for an hour, I think it's just an example of the member of the public, and it could be a good idea to see what other people are thinking at this time as well. Yeah.
Great. And can you tell me a little bit about you and your own personal background, where you're from, and a bit more about how how it was to grow up there and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, Congleton, it's a very small town in the middle of Cheshire. It's a very historical town. It used to be the stop-off point between London and Manchester. Like, they'd stop off at Congleton, and there was a big town sport of bear baiting, so it's known as Bear Town. They famously sold their town Bible for a bear in the olden days, so it was kind of quite dodgy. But a casino town. But it's set in the countryside. It's really rural north. I've lost my accent since I came to university in London. But yeah, there's not that many people, so this event has caused it to be in the local newspaper, for example, and they've run like a half page story on me going on the plinth in London. It was very quiet. I went to normal primary school, state primary school, and a state high school, where there was, and then in my sixth form there was probably about 50 kids in the sixth form. And then came down to London to study university here. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that enough information?
What did you study at university?
I've just finished. I studied drama and theatre studies. I got a first, which was really nice, very surprising. And it was there that I discovered a love for live art, and I've got my own company called Non-Zero One, which is doing quite well at the moment, it's a live art. They do things with audio headphones, taking that out to people. But what I'd like to do is, where I come from in Congleton, theatre's very much not the done thing. They've heard of Shakespeare and stuff like that, but they don't really do much else. So a long-term goal would be to take more contemporary forms of theatre back up to the north and rural areas like that and really push it out there.
What do your parents do?
My mum's a social worker. She used to work as a prison guard, now she's a social worker, child protection, so I think her title is. And my father works for Fujitsu, which is formerly ICL, and he's of a dying breed that he went into that company at the age of 21 when he was out of education, and has worked there ever since. So he's worked there for like 36 years now or something, so which is quite strange now because many people go through different jobs, but he's only ever done the one. So yeah, and then I have an older brother who works as an accountant in London.
Okay. And how did you find the transition from moving to the north to the south, and not only the south but the capital city?
Yeah, it was very strange actually. I found, like, when I first went to university, no one could tell what I was saying, hence I had to sort of change my accent, and it's kind of stuck now. But I refused to say Bath. I always say Bath and grass. But everything else has kind of changed. Up north there's a very definitive sense of community where I was from. Everyone knew everything else about each other, their family ups and family downs and things like that. And here you can be a nobody, and in a way that's nice because you can start fresh, you can walk anonymously and go wherever you like, for example. But it's also very strange because I forget, and things like I'd be on the tube and I smiled at a lady and she sort of went, nutter. And you're like, oh, I forget here, you're not supposed to... maybe not be so friendly. But I think a lot of the stereotypes between the north and the south are not necessarily true. Like, generally in London, like, if you're friendly to somebody, they'll be friendly about you. It's the same. And you find that there are communities born out of different things. So communities are born out of more about who you work with, for example. Like, it seems to be that a lot of people live and work and go out with people that they work with, whereas maybe back at home in the village it's more who you live next door to and stuff like that. So yeah, that's been quite different.
And what's important to you now in your life, having just finished university? What are your kind of ambitions?
That's a tough one. To settle down a little bit, like, finishing university, it's kind of a big step. I've got to find a job and find a place to live and start again in a way. And that's going well so far. I've got a part-time job and I'm doing some other work for other people. But it is very difficult. A lot of my friends can't find jobs because we're hitting a recession. And so there's just, they're pulling out of all graduate jobs at the moment, which is difficult because they're looking for people with experience and it's hard to get the experience. So I've been very lucky with it. My long-term goals would be to continue the performance work that I do and to enjoy it. Just to be happy, really, like whatever that entails. Mm. I'm not so much money-driven or anything like that, but to live comfortably would be really, really nice. Yeah. Yeah.
And your performance work, you said it's audio guides around cityscapes or around areas?
It's been different things. Yeah, so the performance company I'm in is called Non-Zero-One. There's six of us in it, and we perform and make and do all of it. And the last thing we did was a piece called Would Like to Meet, where there were six audience members, and they're guided around a venue. So at first it was a place at the university we went to, then we took it to the Southwark Playhouse, and it's currently being in talks to maybe take it to the Barbican sometime next year. It's where the six participants are led around a space, and they interact with each other, but anonymously, so they pass a note under a toilet door, or they fall backwards and there's someone there to catch them. But it's quite challenging because all of the interactions rely on the audience behaving, rely on the audience doing what they're told. So it's quite interesting to see, because if someone decides they don't want to catch someone, then it means that person falls. And so it's kind of challenging who's responsible for that, like trying to challenge the audience performer boundaries, that sort of thing. So I'm not sure how, for health and safety reasons, I'm not sure how far it can go, but it's been very, very fun to do while we've been doing it. Yeah.
Today, for example, you're going to be standing on the fourth plinth doing your making your
umbrella fort.
Yeah,
whatever we can call it.
How do you feel about? Do you see it as a sort of a playful way of using the space? I mean, or do you see it as a performance, coming from a performance background?
How
do you fit that in with your? How do you think of?
Today? It's difficult. I do think it's a performance because whatever you do, if you stand still, if you ride on bike, there's been people riding on bikes quite a lot, which is really interesting. People looking at you as if you're performing. So if you look at the beauty in the eye of beholder style, then yeah, I'm performing. But despite all my work, I'm not. It's difficult to be yourself in front of other people. Like, it's something really terrifying. Especially when all these people that know you've got preconceptions that I'm going to do like an acting role or something like that, and I didn't really want to do that. I think the people who've done stuff for charity are really commendable, and I did think about it, but in a way there wasn't something that particularly stood out, so that's why I've decided to do something that hopefully will be colourful and sort of a visual thing for people walking alongside, as well as people watching on the internet, because hopefully it'll be quite busy. Yeah, that's kind of the idea around it. I know it's not like the most ingenious of things that have been happening. I did want to keep it quite simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a lovely idea.
Well, we'll see if they don't blow away. But yeah.
You'll be holding tight in the middle of it all, I imagine.
Yeah. Well. Probably holding on for dear life in one thing, but yeah, hopefully the gaffer tape will hold it down in order for it to stay, and hopefully it won't ruin the plinth in any way, otherwise I might get into trouble. But yeah, so that's the idea around it and all the Britishness.
Your outfit today, is there any special significance in what you're wearing or what you chose to wear?
It's a strange that we think about these things, isn't it? I'm wearing amongst my friends, I'm famous for never wearing my own clothes, But today I am wearing my own harem trousers, which are very comfy, quite baggy. And then I'm wearing my dad's shirt, my mum's belt, and my boyfriend's anorak, rather fetchingly. So I've got sort of everyone with me, even though I'm on my own. And mainly it was just a comfort thing. I just thought, it's probably going to rain. I probably ought to keep relatively dry and warm. So that's the only reason behind it.
That's nice. And what does it mean to you personally to stand on the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square?
For me personally, it means the world. It's really humbling to be chosen by random, just because as just your regular sort of girl, it's nice to be kind of have that recognition for everybody else. So just ridiculously humbling, really. That's mainly how I feel.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Is that okay? Cheers. Yeah.